Good morning. Good morning. Lovely to be here. And no, thank you for what you've just prayed. But actually, one of the greatest blessings for a preacher is preaching to people who want to hear, if you think about it. And you're a people who love to hear the word. So that's the privilege of being a preacher and being a preacher here. So I'm not saying goodbye, but this happens to be the last Sunday. So thank you for giving me the opportunity of preaching on many occasions, in many different places, online, in my lounge, in my dining room. Those most memorable moments of preaching to you, when you see that little whirly thing going around in the middle and you think, I'm talking to myself, you know, there we go. But it's been a rich and amazing privilege to share this time with you. And you know, we just wouldn't have guessed, would we, anything of what's happened through these years. Nobody told us that anything like the pandemic might happen or that it would have the effect on our lives that it has. We've been through so much together, and that's been a huge privilege. And the role of a moderator, it's a strange role because it's an intimate role. You know, I get to know the church incredibly well and share in much of its life, and yet I'm living apart. I'm always a visitor. I'm conscious of that. I live somewhere else. And yet you have given me the privilege of being intimately involved in your life. Let me just say now, I've said it before, and there will be other opportunities to say it, but I do pay tribute to those who've enabled the church to go forward really so strongly through this time, to the ministry team especially, for using their undoubted gifts, but using their hearts as well, their desire to serve God at this time, always nobly supported by the leadership teams, because we've seen quite a few people passing through the teams whilst I've been your moderator, and I'm very conscious of their hard work and loyalty and faithfulness to the Lord and enthusiasm for the work. All these things work together. So a kind of farewell today, but I continue to be available for anything that's needed until the induction. Then I will say goodbye. Not good riddance, goodbye. These are good things to think about with that particular scripture, which has fallen particularly appropriately for today. I hadn't designed it for today, but it worked better that I was asked that I should preach on it today, because it's about waiting. Waiting. And that's what we've done supremely through this time. And of course, as soon as we talk about waiting, we think, oh, that's bad. We don't want to wait. So if you've got a long wait, that's a really bad thing, because you want the shortest waits possible. And we live in a society, don't we, that panders to our desire not to wait. I wonder if you can remember the days when you wanted to buy something, you went to a shop. And you went to the shop and you found, sadly, they didn't have what you needed. So you went to another shop. And they said they'd be very happy to help, but they'd have to order it in. So you had to go back to the shop, and you then found it wasn't quite what you wanted. And all that. What do we do these days? We sit on our tablets or whatever we do. We look at loads of different people offering us these things. We go click, click, click. We haven't moved. Maybe our fingers have moved a little, but no other part of our body has moved. We go click, 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 and a man in a van delivers it the next day. We don't wait. We don't have to wait in the way that used to be what life was all about. I think of things like, to think about finding a minister. I've been involved in the process of finding ministers for the last 24 years. So when I started as a superintendent, 1998, last century, looking after the Southwest, there was a part of that process where I would send every month faithfully to the ministers in my patch, Devon and Cornwall, I would send them the list of the churches looking for a minister, the PVL, Pastoral Vacancy List. And so what did I do? It was about 60 pages long. I had to spend half a morning photocopying this flipping thing, then collating it. You can imagine piles on the floor, you know, and then stuffing it into envelopes, and then paying an enormous amount in postage and getting it out to all his ministers who some days later would get it, apart from the people who said they never got it. You know, that was the process. What do we do these days? Click, click, click. They've all got it instantly. It's another world. We don't have to wait very much, and we're not good at waiting, because we live in an instant world. We expect to be served immediately. We expect everything to be the way that we want it to be. So we've got to retune our brains to this, because the punchline of this psalm is this: wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That is to say, it's not a bad thing to wait. It's actually a very good thing to wait. In fact, the Lord wants us to live a life of waiting upon him, not of instantly getting everything that we want in that same moment, but actually building a relationship with the Lord in which we wait upon him. But this waiting we're talking about is not an anxious waiting. It's a confident waiting. It's an attitude of dependence upon God. And so that's my first point, waiting with confidence. When we wait for the Lord, when we lay a situation before him, when we lay our health before him, when we lay our family before him, we're laying it before him, we're waiting with it before him with confidence. We know that he will answer. We know that he will respond. It may not be in that moment, because he loves us too much for that. What a hideous life it would be if God always gave us immediately what we wanted. We'd never be able to cope. He's much more loving than that. Some of you will know of the very bleak play by Samuel Beckett, Waiting for Godot. It's very bleak, and it's about two weird friends standing by a tree, basically, waiting for this guy Godot, who never turns up. So this whole quite long play is about waiting for something that never happens. It's a despairing waiting. It's horrible. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about waiting with absolute confidence, because God is a God who's definitely going to answer us. As you will know, most of the Psalms were not written by David. They were written by a variety of people. David's the most famous, so we assume he wrote them all, but he didn't. But Psalm 27 is one of his. This is testimony, isn't it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, here was somebody who'd been military commander, king, under attack many times, brilliant as he was. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Here is a man who knew the nature of his God. He knew that he could be confident because God had proved himself to him time and time again. What I want to say to all of you today as we look to the future is you can be confident. We live with so much anxiety these days, don't we? I don't know how much news you can cope with. I seem to see an increasing number of people who say just can't cope with it anymore. But it's quite heavy stuff, isn't it? Things happening in our world, climate change, you know, what's going to happen next? You know, this excessive heat, you know, okay, it's coming to an end today, it should be all right tomorrow, and fine by Tuesday, you know, and all that. But what's going to happen next with all this weird stuff happening, seeing flooding on a phenomenal scale around the world at various times, incredible fires, you know. There's much to cause us to be anxious financially. Did you want to be reminded? I mean, it's going to be something which will turn the screws on all of us. There's much to make us anxious. Health concerns, you know, so we've had this pandemic. Who's to say there isn't another one around? We don't know. There is much that could cause us to be anxious. And the Bless the NHS, which we celebrate and thank God for, done an incredible job, and we should keep celebrating and thanking God for the wonderful people who make the wheels turn. Incredible. But as we know, the NHS has hardly been able to cope, struggling through. There's much to cause us to be anxious. I don't want to minimize the challenges we face. We face enormous challenges, but I want to tell you this. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Who or what shall cause us to fear? The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. Of whom or of what can we possibly be afraid? We need to be confident of God, friends. That's my first point. We need to wait with confidence. We tune our lives into looking to God, wait on Him with confidence that He will be there for us and with us. But this waiting for the Lord isn't a cause for us to be lazy. It could, the logic of it could say, okay, well, if He's that good, we're just going to sit back and, you know, it's all going to be fine because God's so brilliant and all that He does. But actually, He calls us to be involved in work with Him. He calls us to work hard in His kingdom. Verse 11 of this psalm says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." That is to say, in the light of the fact that we are under pressure, there are many problems, and that's normal. It's not strange or surprising. We live in a world where there will be constantly challenges. In the light of that, we say, Lord, teach us your way. Teach us what it means to be obedient to you. So I want to go from waiting with confidence to waiting with purpose. There's work for us to do. Past couple of years have been amazing. I mean, they have shaken everything up in a way that I can't think that we have seen in any other way in our lives. Just everything's been shaken. Everything looks slightly different, doesn't it? Everything looks slightly different. And we're trying to return to something which resembles something that we recall. But actually, everything has been shaken. And clearly, one of the things that has been shaken here in church, and I do think this church has done wonderfully well through the pandemic. I think it's been a great success story in very, very difficult times. All of that, please hear me. But we're different. Lots of things are different. Some people still haven't returned, and we're delighted to welcome many people online and new friends online. That's all brilliant. We celebrate that. But we have been shaken, and one of the ways in which we undoubtedly have suffered is having a smaller number of people volunteering to do the hundreds of little tasks that go together to make up the life of a fellowship. I mean, that's just how it is. We celebrate the work of the ministry team and the leadership team, fantastic people, amazingly gifted, wonderfully committed to the task. But actually, without loads of other people doing their stuff, we can't make EBC work. So as we think about waiting with purpose, I would ask you to ask yourself, what is your purpose? As we go shortly into the autumn, you can hardly think about autumn with sunny weather like this, but it will break in a couple of weeks. Children will be back to school before we know it. Where are you going to exercise your purpose within the church? What is God calling you to do? Maybe something completely new. Maybe something you've never volunteered for before, or maybe returning to a role that you were doing before the pandemic. I do appeal to you to work out what your purpose is. Yes, confident of God, that's good, but He's calling us to be busy for Him. With coming of David Ford, our new team leader minister, this coming week, and David and Jen, do pray very much for them. This is a huge and it's a traumatic moment, isn't it? Moving house. Many of us have done it within recent years. It's a big thing to move house. Moving life and ministry is another, in a sense, even bigger thing for them to do. Do pray for them and be very sensitive to the total upheaval that life will represent over the next few weeks, and particularly not being able to go into the new manse for a few weeks at least. Do please be very sensitive and prayerful for them. But as we look forward to what happens in the coming days, and look forward to that purpose that the Lord has for this church. Yes, we've done that wonderful work on the vision discovery process, and we're peaceful, and we're clear, and we're committed. You know, this is a family church, a church that is called to work with families and for families, not just the families here, but in the community, and it's a great vision. But it's still something that's got to be hammered out on a daily basis. We might have done the work of saying that's where we want to head, and I think that's been a lovely exercise, and I've learnt a lot through sharing with you in that process. But do pray for ministry team and leadership team, and David as the new leader, as we come to shape what that will mean for the church, what the purpose should be. David brings many skills, many abilities, and the experience of, you know, leading successfully a local church and all of that, but none of that counts for anything unless it's teamwork. He's a team leader, but it's for the team, the church members, those who are committed to this church, working together to make things happen. So I will watch with huge interest and much prayerfulness over the coming months as you go on this journey together. We've got a clear purpose, but let's ask the questions individually. What is the Lord calling you to do to contribute to that journey? Just a final word. So we're waiting with confidence, we're waiting with purpose, but I want to lose any sense of this being a lonely journey. I'm sitting there waiting. Just remind you of the obvious point that we're waiting with God. God is with us on this journey. He's not just the one who inspires us on the Sunday and then we go into the week by ourselves. He's the one who is there alongside us every step of the way. If this last couple of bizarre years have taught us anything, surely they have taught us that we have absolutely no idea what the future holds. Just no idea. That anybody who says they haven't got a clear idea of where they are going to be in a couple of years are stark, staring bonkers. I mean, there's no grounds for it, isn't there? We can't have that certainty. We can't have that certainty. We have no idea what the future holds. That is why we should be grateful that we serve a God who offers himself to us. I do have to say, if you don't know the Lord, you have every reason to be very anxious. I think that is a logical outcome, and I would totally understand if you feel beside yourself with anxiety. But if you know the Lord, hear the words of this psalm, you have no reason for anxiety, because the future is in the Lord's hands. He will be there with us every step of the way. Jesus loved his parables, and I do too. Pictures which stick with me. And one I probably shared with you before, but for me it's really important. This sense of confidence that we can have as we go forward. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We say, yeah, that's great. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But what did Jesus really mean by it? When I lived in India, there were two ways in which people gave me directions. And I'm somebody who loves maps. Hardly use them these days of sat-navs, but I do love maps. I can sit with a map for a long while and imagine the journey and all that, the proper OS map, and really get into it. Love that. India was for me a massive disappointment because there just weren't maps. I would often go into a bookshop, have you got any maps? And they never came up with anything other than tourist maps, you know, which was beautiful and bright, but no, I want the detail of it. So working as I was, as you know, with an outcast community, very poor community in beautiful Kerala, bottom left of India, I'd often get to a village knowing only the name of the house I needed to get to. There are no convenient things like roads or streets or avenues or closes. You know, I didn't do things like that. I just did houses in. So I didn't have a clue where to go. You'd stand on the edge of the village and say, I need to get to this amazingly named house. And everybody would know. They'd all know. But there were two ways of giving directions. There were the people who had said to me, oh, I know that place very well, you know, and they're very confident. They say you go straight along this canal. There were canals everywhere in that area. Straight along this canal, you go over a little bridge. Can't miss it. Over the little bridge, you go straight on for 2 furlongs. One of the weird things we've left behind us in India are furlongs, for heaven's sake. You go on for 2 furlongs, you turn left, there are another little bridge, bridges are everywhere. Then there's a brick-built house, big moment. Go round the back of that brick-built house, you go straight on another furlong, you turn right, and it's immediately on the left, you can't miss it. I don't know what you do when you hear directions like that, but basically it's most convenient to find a large bush to hide behind whilst you look for someone else to help you. And of course you then find this person who says, I know that place. I will come with you. I will take you there. Just be very clear of this, folks. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when God promises himself to us, he is not saying, come on a Sunday, I'll give you a bunch of directions, and hopefully it will all work out all right, and you'll get to where you need to go. That's not what God says. God says to us, I know where you need to go, and I will come with you. And that's the good news. The other one, that's bad news, the bunch of directions. You'll forget them by Thursday, if not Wednesday. The Lord says, I will come with you. I will be there for you. In the light of all these things, my friends, I suggest to you that we can look to the future with confidence, but we need to stick by this punchline, the Lord saying to us, wait for me. Be strong and take heart and wait for me. May we learn what it means, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, to wait for the Lord and to be ready to hear his voice and walk in his ways. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the way in which your word speaks into our lives. And Lord, we confess to you, we're not great at waiting. We do like instant results. When we want something to happen, we want it to happen now. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us what it means to be those who love to wait, because we know that as we wait upon you day by day, so we will receive your blessings. Lord, I pray for this church. I thank you for the joy of getting to know it through these years, sharing so many big moments together. Lord, we thank you that you are with us every step of the way, that we can look to the future, whatever it contains, with confidence and with joy, because we know that you're going to bless us. You're going to lead us. You will be with us every breath, every step of the way. So, Lord, hear us as we pray for one another and pray that you would teach each of us what it means to wait on the Lord day by day. Lord, hear us and bless us and strengthen us for the journey ahead, we pray, as we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.